See, friends, we have to use prayer the way it was designed to work. It will never work if we try to force it into our own use and just use it the way we want to. We need to pray the way God designed prayer to work.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're joining us today in this series through the Sermon on the Mount. And so, Pastor Philip, God has a design for prayer, but we can misuse this privilege of prayer. Is that what we're saying today?
Yeah. So Jesus is, you know, he's walking through the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about all the ways that our righteousness falls short of the glory of God. We need to have a righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees that would be at home in the kingdom of heaven. And so his illustration now is he turns to prayer and the ways that we misuse prayer and in ways that don't honor God. One of the ways we can do that is by treating prayer like a vending machine where we're always asking for stuff. And if we just punch in the right numbers, then the candy bar will fall out, the treat, the blessing from God. That's, of course, an abuse of prayer. And he's going to get to that. But today, he's going to talk about the way we can use prayer to actually try to bolster our image and to sort of stroke our own ego. So like public prayers offered in a community where everyone's looking at us going, wow, that guy's really spiritual. Look at him. He's up front. He's been asked to pray. That kind of prayer that is designed to impress others is a misuse of prayer. And Jesus is going to get us back on track today.
Oh, I think you got everyone's attention. So stay tuned, beloved. After the message, Pastor Philip's going to have a discussion to show us how to break out of this spiritual smog of self-centered prayer. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we examine the danger of praying for the approval of others. This is part one of the sermon, Pray Then Like This.
One winter day, when I was a kid, my siblings and I decided we wanted some hot chocolate. And typically what we would do is we would fill the mugs with hot water, put them in the, well, cold water, put them in the microwave, and we'd heat them up, and then we'd add the powder and all that kind of stuff. But we all wanted hot chocolate together, and there were six of us, and so we thought, there's got to be an easier, better way to make hot chocolate. And but since we weren't allowed to use the stove, we were in a conundrum. And so, with a great deal of self-confidence in my own ingenuity, I concocted a plan to make hot cocoa in bulk, using my dad's drip coffee maker. And so I filled the reservoir. It's hot liquid. I don't drink coffee. This will work, right? So I fill the reservoir with water. I empty something like 10 packets of hot cocoa powder into the filter basket. And I press brew. And off I go do some things. And patting myself on my back for the brilliance of such a plan. I return. What happens next is the stuff of Miller family legend, okay? So I return to the kitchen with yelling and screaming as hot pooling across the countertops, running down the face of the cabinets, sprayed up all over the wall and the window is piping hot cocoa as it exploded out of the coffee maker. And I learned that day that you have to use things the way they were designed to work. There was nothing wrong with my dad's coffee maker as long as you chose to make coffee in the coffee maker. But if you tried to make hot cocoa, it just wouldn't work for you. No matter how hard I tried, no matter how sincere I was, it would not make hot cocoa. It was designed for another purpose. Sometimes people will come into my office for some pastoral counseling. They'll have a situation they're working through and they want to talk about it and they want to get my advice or whatever. And sometimes I'll ask them how they're praying through their situation. And more than once, people have said to me, well, I tried that. It just, prayer doesn't work. Just prayer doesn't work. And they described to me how they prayed for whatever it was their situation was. They prayed for change, for healing, for a change in circumstances, for somebody to change their attitude or heart or whatever. And then they realized after a while that wasn't happening. And so it felt like God was unresponsive. Their prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling, disappearing into the void. And maybe they kept at it for a while, but when nothing really changed, they figured the problem was prayer. And so they just sort of gave up. Oh, they might pray at meals or in their small group or their Sunday community or when somebody calls them up front to pray. But not much beyond that. They just sort of gave up on prayer. And to which I would then respond to this person in my office, what if you're actually using prayer the wrong way? What if there's actually nothing wrong with prayer? Maybe you're not using prayer the way it was intended to work, not the way it's designed to work. What if you're trying to make hot cocoa in a coffee maker? See, friends, we have to use prayer the way it was designed to work. It will never work if we try to force it into our own use and just use it the way we want to. We need to pray the way God designed prayer to work. Well, what is that? Well, welcome to class. Jesus is our teacher, and he's going to teach us today how to pray God's way. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13 this morning. Matthew 6, verses 5 to 13. And in this passage, Jesus is going to walk us through two ways of praying that never work and the one way of praying that always will. And there's a world of difference between these three modes of prayer. Prayer that's looking to others, prayer that's looking to ourselves, or prayer that's looking to our Father. And so we're going to look at these each in turn as we walk through the passage today. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray as we jump in to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we ask today that through the guidance of Jesus, our Master and Lord, that we would learn to pray. Jesus prayed differently than anybody else in his day or age, and he intends to teach us to pray like he prays. And so help us to learn what Jesus knows today, the secret to prayer that matters, that works. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. First of all, prayer that is looking to others, looking to others. Look at Jesus' words here in Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the first way to pray that doesn't work, according to Jesus, is religious hypocrisy, prayer that is full of religious hypocrisy. Now, we talked about this at great length last week, and so I don't want to repeat everything that we talked about last time. But what Jesus is doing here is, once again, he's calling out religious people who always seem to find a way to get their piety into the spotlight. They give with fanfare and flourish so that people will see. They fast in order to be noticed, and they pray so people will see them. Jesus calls this kind of religious performance, he labels it hypocrisy. He says they're hypocrites. And we said last week that Jesus is the first person in all of world history to use the word hypocrite with moral overtones. He coined the term. It was a term from the Greek theater that simply meant actor, or the people who wore the masks in the Greek theater. They were playing a part. And Jesus says religious people can wear a mask. They can play a part. They can pretend they are something they're not. They're hypocrites. And he's saying that when we're actors, when we use prayer not to seek the face of God, but in order to impress the faces of other people. In other words, when we use prayer not as a means of relationship with God, but as a strategy to sort of show off, gain prestige, fit in, develop some social cachet, that's when this goes wrong. Now, some of us who grew up in traditional cultures where religion was a dominant social feature, we understand what this is like, the pressure of religious performance. When public participation in religious activities earns you a place in the community, this can easily happen. religious communities in particular tend to exert a kind of pressure on their people to sort of dress a certain way, speak a certain way, act a certain way, behave a certain way, even pray a certain way. And it can lead to what Jesus is talking about here, sort of religious play acting, wearing the mask, performing for what's expected, putting on a show. But then when we do that, then our prayer is not about seeking the face of God. It's about seeking the approval of other people. You see that? We've twisted prayer. We're praying not with our eyes for God, but our eyes on others. And Jesus shows us the way we can tell if this is happening. How do we know if we've fallen into this trap? He says, look, there's no secret prayer in your life. That's the problem. It's one thing to stand up in front and pray and use all kinds of fancy theological words when other people call upon you and when it's socially expected. But if there's no private prayer, if there's no seeking of the Lord when no one else is looking, then that helps you see that you're doing it for others and not for Him. When it's just you and God, prayer evaporates. He says, Jesus is warning us, beware. Beware of the kind of prayer that is eager to pray in public, but is unmotivated in private. It might just be a religious mask and nothing more. Prayer that uses God, friends, to look good will never work. That's the bottom line. Prayer that uses God to look good will never work. God doesn't respond to this kind of hypocritical prayer. Jesus says, they have received their reward in full. That's it. Because using prayer this way, this hypocritical way, is not the way prayer was designed to work. Prayer, friends, is about seeking God. It's about relationship with Him. It's about cultivating our relationship with the Most High God and opening our hearts to Him so that we can connect with Him. That's what prayer is for. But when we twist it and turn it into a thing that is simply religious performance to try to look good in front of the eyes of other people, it's no longer about pursuing God. It's about pursuing popularity. Imagine, if you will, imagine you're a young lady in high school, and the guy of your dreams invites you to a dance. And you think he's really into you, so you say yes. And he says, oh, I'm so glad you said yes, because I really didn't want to go alone. I didn't want anyone to think I was a loser, and all the other girls turned me down. How would you feel? You'd be offended, right? You'd be offended because he's not into you. He's just using you to look good in front of his friends. You're just arm candy, right? There's a phrase you probably never thought you'd hear from the pulpit of Moody Church. You're just arm candy, right? And look, we can do the same thing with God. God says, look, I'm not going to let you use me so you can look good in front of your friends. If it's me you want, I'm all in. But I'm not going to let you just use me. You don't want to be used like that. God doesn't want to be used like that either. Prayer like that will never work. That's the first way prayer doesn't work. It's when we have our eyes on others, when we're looking to others.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. And before we start this really important discussion today, I want to let you know that this program is made possible because of generous supporters just like you. As a thank you for your gift today, we have a resource we'd love to share with you. Go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. We're so glad you're joining us today as we dig deeper into praying not for the acceptance of man, but for the acceptance from and the approval of God our Father. Now, Pastor Philip, it sounds kind of silly when we talk about the Pharisees are out in the streets praying out loud and on the corner so they can be seen. But this business, this struggle of praying to be seen, I'm getting some amens. I can hear them all the way here. we have to deal with that today, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. I think Jesus is using the imagery. He's kind of pushing it to the edge of the envelope to help us see the ridiculousness of what the Pharisees are doing. And but it's not that far off. You know, we have here in Chicago, we have these like citywide prayer meetings. And so we gather all the churches together, and you've got hundreds of people in the room, and there's all these pastors that are there, and their church members are represented, and only a handful get invited to go up onto the platform and pray,
yes. You know?
And so there's this like weird thing of like the who's who of the pastors in town, and is my pastor going to be invited up? And, you know, and it is like, you could just kind of feel it a little bit. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff Jesus is talking about. That kind of, prayer is ultimately, it's good to pray in public. It's good to have citywide prayer meetings. That's fine.
Yeah.
What's going on in our heart, though, matters tremendously. And whether we want to be on the platform to pray so we might be seen by others in order that people might think we're a leader or we're spiritual or we've got it together, that's actually toxic. That's not what prayer is for. Prayer is about pursuing our Father with intimacy and love and devotion to know Him and be known by Him.
Yeah.
It doesn't need this performative piece, right? And but you can fall into that even if you're not like a professional clergyman or something, right? Even in a small group, like we get together in small groups and we're going around and it's your turn, you know, you're going around doing your prayers and it's sort of like, you know, what are people going to think of me when I pray and like do it, you know, and the person who prays in front of me, and maybe they used a lot of theology in their prayer. And now do I feel pressure to sort of meet that tenor or somebody who's really passionate and just emotionally present in their prayer? And it just feels so spirit led. And then you feel this like, well, I've got to match that spiritual tempo or, you know, what are they going to think of me? I can't have a dry prayer, you know? And so, and all of a sudden, what we're doing is we've taken our eyes off the Lord and we're worried about how our prayer is perceived by others and how people are going to process that and think of us. And it becomes an image management tool in the tool chest of how we're sort of building our own, you know, credentials. And Jesus is saying, like, that's a problem. Like, and we can do this even, you know, I think at home with our spouse when we're praying or whatever, if you feel the need to sort of posture yourself and think of yourself as a spiritual person, and you kind of have to demonstrate that in your prayer or whatever. So it can happen all over the place. It doesn't just have to happen on the street corners, you know, in the loud way that the Pharisees are demonstrating it. But Jesus is putting his finger on the fundamental problem, which is when we take prayer and make it about us and our image and our reputation and trying to sort of credential ourselves, we've actually taken something really beautiful and good, which is intimate conversation with God who loves us, and we've twisted it into something that's about us.
Okay, I'll say it on behalf of our listeners. Ouch. Oh, that stung. Sorry, you're coming right down the middle of the plate today. You know, but this requires some self-examination and to step back and say, okay, if I'm misusing the privilege of prayer, like you've described in so many wonderful examples, what does this really say about me?
Well, really what it is, when I'm praying in order to earn social acceptance or social capital or honor in the community or whatever.
Okay.
What it means is that the thing I actually want is the approval and the applause and the accolades of my fellow human beings. That's become kind of an idol to me.
Okay.
And so I'm looking to other people for their smile, their nods, their applause, their affirmation in order to know who I am, that I'm enough, to feel safe in the world, to feel secure, to be happy and satisfied, like I've got this, right? And that's an idol. In other words, I'm not looking to God for the significance, security, and satisfaction that only He can provide in my life. I'm looking to other people, and I'm looking to them to do something only God can do. And so it's a function of idolatry. I'm actually looking to the wrong places to know how my soul is. And then the other thing is, it's actually a kind of self-righteousness we're trying to build when we're saying, I'm going to try to be this religious moral, holy person that's worthy of respect and honor. What we're fundamentally doing is we're trying to build our own righteousness and say, look at me, I've got all this together. And it pulls us out of grace, which is the only way we can actually come to the Father is through Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us. We stand in grace. That's the only access we have to the Father. So it's actually a twisting. We step out of grace and we start building this kind of self-righteousness to say, look at me, I've got it all together. So it's super toxic. And it really, you're right. We've got to look at our hearts. We've got to assess, okay, what is my real motivation, my real heart in these kinds of prayers?
How do we get out? So they hear you. I hear you. It's a sobering thought because we think, well, prayer is a good thing. We should be praying. But man, if you're praying for the approval of others, is there a way out of this, what you call spiritual smog? How do we get out?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that can help us here. Jesus' prescription, though, right here in this passage is brilliant. He says, go into your closet and pray. And the whole point is just go somewhere where you're not going to be noticed.
And don't take anybody in the closet with you.
Right. And don't tweet about it later, right. You know. Yeah. So, but the whole thought is if you realize your public prayers are doing, they're conflicted and they're doing all these different things in your heart and they are ways that you're trying to seek after honor and approval and whatever. Mm-hmm. One of the solutions for that is to just get alone with God where no one can see you and pray. And if that's really hard for you, that would be helpful to know because it helps you realize like, I'm actually not doing this to seek my Father's face. I'm actually doing this for all the wrong reasons.
Oh.
I'm really eloquent when I'm on the platform or in the small group when other people are around or at the dinner table when everyone's watching. Mm. But when it's just me in the car, with my Heavenly Father, who's always with me, when it's just me at my desk, when it's just me in my home, if I'm not seeking the Father's face, if I'm not seeking him in prayer, if that doesn't flow naturally, that shows me something about my own heart. Mm-hmm. I think another thing we can do to help put training wheels on is to use the scriptures as prayer, you know, prayer requests. We could pray the prayers of Paul or Jesus or Daniel or whomever, or the Psalms. We can try to like sort of gain a heart for prayer by watching and praying along with those who have mature hearts of prayer, who seek after the Lord. So I think that's another way we can actually put some wheels on this. But it really comes down to, do I want my Heavenly Father? Do I want relationship? Do I want to be with him? That's the question.
Beloved, as a believer, as a child of God, we have this wonderful privilege of prayer, this access that God gives us. We can come to him at any hour, from any place, at any time, about anything, but we never, ever want to misuse that privilege. You know, prayers, it's like a child talking to a loving father. I'm so glad we don't have to perform to get God's attention. We already have his heart. To help you grow in your relationship with God, we're offering Pastor Erwin Lutzer's booklet, Walking with Jesus. It's an invitation to simplify your focus by asking, what would Jesus do? By following in his steps, even the way Jesus prayed to the Father, we learn to clear out the distractions. We want Christ to truly be at home in us. Come on, beloved, let's move beyond the status quo of cultural Christianity and embrace a life of radical commitment to the one who loves us most. Now to request your copy of Walking with Jesus for a donation of any amount, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When we know we're accepted by God, we no longer focus only on our own agendas. Now, next time, we'll talk about trusting in God to meet our needs. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media. and is sponsored by The Moody Church.